Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, yes, indeed. It is a Victory Motown Monday. That's called Hitting the Post, boys and girls. Radio professional over here. 3 o'clock in the nation's capital, just north of 3 o'clock. We're recalibrating the clock, just like Dan Quinn's recalibrating the north. On the team, 980 and the Odyssey app. Good to have you with us. And joining us right now is Jay Gruden in his normal weekly Monday spot with us here on the team 980 on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And the former head coach of the Washington Redskins and offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars joins us. Now you can follow him on Twitter/X if you're not already doing so, @coach_Jay Gruden. Jay, how are you?
I'm doing good. Big win for the Commanders.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's Jay, you know, I started, a younger me, maybe me when I covered you, would go, oh, man, that was a crappy win. Oh, I didn't do this. I still have to complain a little bit. I still have to say, hey, like, they could have done this, they could have done that. But, man, as I get older, and I know you probably believe in this, I know Dan Quinn believes in this, it is so hard to win in this league. And even when fans get frustrated and they think you should blow out, it's so hard to win in this league.
It is definitely hard. You know, a lot of things have to go right. There's the player of the play of your players, the referees, turnovers, momentum changes. A lot of things have to go right for you to get a victory. Unfortunately for the Commanders, they did just enough. They drove the ball great between the 20s. 400 yards of offense. Obviously, the red zone issues will be talked about, but come away with a win against the Giants, who's really given them problems in the past.
Yep.
This is big.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They haven't beaten the Giants in a while since, I think, 2021, I believe, was the year. All right, so let's get to those red zone issues. So I charted, they had, on the 7 field goal drives, they allowed 5 sacks on and 1 on each of those drives. There were several negative plays, what have you, and of course a bunch of false starts and a bunch of penalties and just stuff that, you know, it gets put in a hopper as undisciplined football. What do you feel like was the number one reason why they bogged down? Is it just the penalties, or is it just a wide combination of things?
It's a combination of things. The sacks, negative plays. You can't have negative plays in a red zone. Once the field shrinks like that, it becomes a little bit easier for defenses to play you. You know, and then if you don't have your go-to wide receiver, the fade, the jump, the great fade that I like to throw.
Oh, yes.
That's very difficult, So I think the Giants were able
How many
to
of those did you throw? Did you dial up to Josh Doctson there, Jay?
I tried. He was a first-round draft pick. I tried to get him a catch.
You tried to get him on the field, for crying out loud.
He had a 48-inch vertical. He couldn't throw him a fade. You had to bring that up again, don't you, Chris?
Sorry.
But yeah, negative
I apologize.
Plays, sacks. You can't have sacks and negative plays once you get down. He did such a good job to get down there in the first place.
Yeah.
They kept them off balance. They ran the ball pretty well. A lot of good bubble screens, execution. Mm-hmm. Then you get down there and you have a false start. You have a sack, and then all of a sudden, you can't get anybody open. I think the Giants did a pretty good job with their red zone defense as well.
And I agree with all of that. The final drive of the game, they take over just north of 2 minutes. They get a run play, no gain, two-minute warning. You come out of the two-minute warning and you throw a dagger. I mean, probably his best throw that I've seen since, obviously the two games, but even in practice and whatnot, to Noah Brown, 34 yards, I want to say, in stride against the blitz, if I remember correctly. A, that throw, Jay, and your thoughts on it, and B, is that kind of the perfect – I've always thought, like, coaches should more dial up after a turnover, after a TV timeout, when guys are kind of standing around. Maybe they're, maybe they lose focus a little bit because of music or whatever the case might be, a long TV break. Is that kind of the best time to try and strike up the band and attack?
Yes, that's a good time. I think the running back, Eckler, did a great job picking up the blitz, mm-hmm. first of all, right in the hole.
He's really good. He's really good at that.
Yeah, that was big, which gave Jaden a chance to really set his feet and get back to the backside dagger. Mm-hmm. They had a frontside concept, I think, that he wanted to get to, but he saw a 3D fire zone, and then his eyes went right to the backside dagger, which is impressive, and he found it and threw a dart. So great protection by the entire offensive line there, picking up the five-man rush. Eckler, of course. And Noah Brown did a nice job of getting separation and getting his depth and being at the right spot. And Jaden trusted the throw and let it rip. And that's what you love to see that. It's, sometimes you're like, why did it wait till the fourth quarter to make this throw like this? But, sometimes a game just has to play itself out and take advantage of that rip. And he did.
Jay Gruden is with us again, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right. So another thing on that final drive, and ultimately, again, they don't score a touchdown. Fine. They get the game winning field goal, 7 out of 7 from Austin Seibert. But I liked, and I don't know if it struck you, that they stayed aggressive even after that Noah Brown play. They had a Brian Robinson run. They had a Zacchaeus, I think, 8-yard pass. They had another pass, if I remember correctly. They stayed aggressive on that, where sometimes, if you get that one big play, you almost tend to kind of like, oh, okay, we'll settle for a 45, 47, whatever yard field goal. They kind of stayed aggressive until the very end. Does that mean anything to you, or did that jump out to you in any way?
Well, it's a tie game. They had to get points, right?
Yeah.
So that's the best way to attack them. They did a good job, really, all game of running the ball between the tackles, which I thought would be a nightmare for him with Dexter mm-hmm. Lawrence in there. I thought he was going to clog it up, but they still did a good job of creating some lanes for him, and Brian did a good job of finding those lanes. But they spread them out and got the ball on the perimeter to some receivers, and really did a fine job, overall getting that final drive, because that's when the crunch time is. You don't get that drive in there, then the Giants will have a chance to go get it and take the game from you. But hats off to Jaden, hats off to Kingsbury and the offensive line and the quarterback for executing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay Gruden with us. All right, so they bring in this guy, Austin Seibert, who was with the Jets during preseason. They watched him, I guess, in person at the Jets joint practice back there in mid-August. They were impressed by him. Dan Quinn was throwing bouquets of flowers at Adam Peters for noticing that, all of that. So they bring him in. How hard I can't remember, because you guys brought in Tressway in, I think, your first year at the end of the preseason. Then you had Forbath, but then you brought in Hopkins in week 2, I want to say in 2015. if I have that right. And ultimately, you guys won the division championship that day or that year. How hard is it to bring in a new kicker off the streets? Because people think it's easy, but there's a timing, there's a rhythm, there's a chemistry with the holder, with the snapper, with the everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, the field at Washington is not the best to kick on either. I don't know if anybody's ever brought that up.
Maybe about 1,000 place kickers that I've covered.
Yeah, this isn't perfect little field turf now. There's a lot of bumps in that turf, in that field over there at Washington. But, it's scary. You know, that's the one thing you can't mess with is your kicking game. And if you're fortunate enough to have a good punter and a good kicker, like once we made the change to Hopkins, we were pretty much set in that department for a long time. And of course our long snapper was good too, Sundberg. So I let those guys play ping pong, just go out there and do your thing and let me sleep well at night because I don't have to mess with that position. When you don't have that position, it's a nightmare.
Jay, you are so funny. I mean, you just snake in ping pong dagger. Do you know Tress Way still gets after me about that? Every time he sees me, he rips on me about not wanting to play on Thanksgiving and my love of my love or disdain of ping pong in the locker room.
I'm telling you, he's the greatest ping pong player I've ever seen. Him and Hoff would go at it.
He's great. Case Keenum was pretty good,
too. Some teams have golf simulators in their practice facility, Chris. Is that okay?
Well, listen.
Some teams have pool tables. I mean...
You know, here's how I would
complex is now these players have a lot of things going on. It's just not sitting in there watching film for 28 hours. You're going to have some free time, some dead time, or you're going to want to relax and play cards or play maybe a game of ping pong.
I know.
There for 9 hours a day, for God's sake.
Oh, I mean, you know, we can't make people work 9 hours a day. I mean, you play ping pong when you were working 100-hour weeks?
Dragon for nine straight hours. I mean, they got to get a break.
I know. I'm an old curmudgeon. Leave me alone. All right. A couple of things that I wanted to get to, overall, just while we're on the Commanders. The defense is getting a lot of criticism. Of course, listen, Malik Nabers is a tremendous young talent. Even though he had that bad drop on the 4th and 4, people are saying, oh, how could you let Daniel Jones do this? What do you put the number one reason? Because, I mean, it looked to me live, just being in the corner press box where we are, bad tackling was the number one reason. What do you put it at?
That's a combination of things. I think Daniel really never felt flustered in that game. They got pressure on him a couple times, but for the most part, he was pretty confident to be able to set his feet and find the shallow cross and deliver accurately. And that's what's critical for quarterbacks. If you give NFL quarterbacks time to set their feet and scan the field to find a guy like Malik Nabers streaking across the middle or on the sideline on the back shoulder fair, whatever it might be, let him step in to throw, they're a hell of a lot more accurate than when somebody's around them. And interior pass rush hasn't been there. And then the running game was working too, so they had to play against the run. I think Singletary had over 90 yards rushing. So the combination, the Giants kind of had a little bit of both going for them, the runs, the play action pass, and obviously Daniel had some time to set his feet. So they got to get, they got to stop the run and force some third down and long, some known passing situations, which will help out the defensive pass rush for sure.
If you know you're struggling to tackle, if you know you're struggling to stop the run, that's setting up play action, that's, and they're able to pretty much do whatever they want. What ways do you try to combat that? Is it just as simple as cranking up the heat? Like I argue, like next Monday night against Joe Burrow and the Bengals, and maybe this is a suicide move. You know, like blitz from the secondary, man. Blitz from the nickel slot. Blitz from the edge. Blitz from the safeties. Design some things up. And at least if you go down and you get destroyed by Ja'Marr Chase and presumably T. Higgins if he plays and Joe Burrow, at least you gave it a shot, right? Instead of playing kind of, I don't want to say conservatively, that's not fair, but instead of not wanting to be aggressive, does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, if they have issues in their backs picking up blitzes, then yeah, you want to get after them a little bit, put pressure on Joe, because Joe has struggled with pressure in his face from time to time. The issue is if you could bring pressure and they pick it up, can your corners hold up, which I don't think Washington's can right now against Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and the rest of the guys for the Cincinnati Bengals if Higgins plays. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know about the back that Michael Davis didn't play very well, didn't look like.
No.
So he'll be on an island. I think Cincinnati will be watching that film and highlighting him about every chance they get when they go single high. So he's going to have to step up, or they're going to have to protect them with a safety over the top. And when they do that, that opens up the running lanes, and Washington have to hold up with a light box, which some teams had to do. But and you look at Dallas yesterday. I mean, Dallas couldn't stop the run or the pass. They scored six times in a row at New Orleans. So it could be a nightmare. If you can't stop the run, you're in for a very long afternoon in the National Football
League. No, it's obviously a good point. It's why every coach, you know, that I've been around and player says stop the run to make them more one-dimensional, and that's what you got to do. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app each and every Monday. All right, one more thing on this game, and then I wanted to bounce around to a couple of other things with you. So Brian Daboll's getting a lot of crap for the Graham Gano situation. Jay, I said this, look, of course Brian Daboll deserves some of the blame. Like, they added him to the injury report on Saturday. They had to know he was getting treatment. He had an issue pregame. By then, it's probably too late. But, like, to me, that's a Joe Shane and Brian Daboll decision, maybe even a special teams coordinator decision, and maybe even on Graham saying, no, I'm good. And instead, it probably cost them that game. How do you kind of read out that whole entire situation without knowing exactly what the deliberation was?
Well, there's 21 guys on the practice squad now, right? I think something like that.
Yeah, well, 16, and if so 17, if
your quarterback's on injury report that late in the week, you better have a kicker on a practice squad. He better travel with you to the game because you can make that change on Saturday. And if Graham's not 100%, you got to make the change. I mean, you can't go into the game without a kicker. That is the most insane thing I've ever heard of. It might be on Graham. Maybe Graham told the doctors, hey, I'm fine, and then he gets a pregame warm-up and pulls his hammy. I just don't understand. I've never seen anything like that before. I was screaming at the guys, why is the Giants going for two all the time? These guys are insane. I couldn't realize it because I was at a sports bar. I didn't know Graham Gano was out. But I think that is a costly decision. That's something that the doctor, the kicker, the coach, they all have to have take a little bit of the blame for that one.
Yeah, and you know, again, they knew that it didn't happen just on the first play, right? Like, Graham was totally healthy. They added him to the injury report on Saturday, and they have a kicker on the practice squad. Not every team, like the Commanders, don't have a kicker on the practice squad. So if something happens even on a Saturday, they're kind of screwed when it comes to Seibert now, right? So they had the kicker on the practice squad. They added Graham to the injury report, and they still didn't do it. So that was, I don't know. That was kind of weird, and it have obviously had a major impact on the game. All right, moving around to the rest of the NFL. I don't know if you saw, but Bryce Young has been officially benched in Carolina, Jay. Nobody's surprised by that. Look, of course he's worse than anybody could have thought, but I don't remember what your evaluation of him coming out was. How surprising is this? Or maybe it's not so surprising considering they don't have a lot of pieces around him.
No, and you hate to blame a young quarterback like that for the failures of the Carolina Panthers in the first 2 weeks. They're not very good at either side of the ball, any phase of the game right now. Offensive line's not playing very well. The receivers aren't getting a ton of separation, so you can't put it all on Bryce. But Bryce has done nothing to warrant being an NFL starting quarterback. He's not an escape artist. He doesn't escape pressure. His arm strength hasn't been there. His decision-making has been questionable. His accuracy has been off. Hell, he missed a bubble. He threw a bubble screen in a dirt to Thielen yesterday, you know?
Yeah.
He's wide open outside. He breaks contains wide open, has a guy wide open. He overthrows him by 10 yards. His strength has got to be accuracy, decision-making, touch. But that's not shown at all. And they had to make a change because they can't get a yard. I mean, they're awful on offense. Andy Dalton's a veteran guy, knows the system.
You had Andy as a rookie in his first couple of years, right?
He's a great kid. He'll make all the right decisions, and he'll miss a throw from time to time, but he'll get the team in the right play and the right run and make the right decision for you. He won't turn the ball over. So he'll give that team a chance moving forward to win some games.
They were 1 of 12 on third down, Carolina, yesterday. I mean,
it was so bad. We're watching that game like it was like a horror film. Yeah. I mean, this is some bad football. He's got a long way to go. There have been quarterbacks. You look at Baker Mayfield, some of these other guys who bounced around from team to team and now found a home. And hopefully he'll get it right eventually. He does have talent, but there's really no redeeming quality for me right now to say, hey, this guy can do this. You know, this guy can run. This guy can throw. He's got a great arm. He's but he has shown none of that yet so far in his career.
You mentioned Baker Mayfield. He wasn't as good yesterday as he was last Sunday against, of course, Washington, but he was good enough in the Bucs without Winfield, without Vita Vea for most of that game, without their right tackle. They go into Detroit and win that game 20-16, A, on the Bucs, and B, did you see the decision Campbell made? And we know he's a riverboat gambler. From like his own 5-yard line, he throws a fake punt on 4th and 12, and it actually worked out for him.
Yeah, no, he does that stuff from time to time. And I think as a coach, sometimes if you can feel like your team needs a little jump start, a little kick in the ass, sometimes you have to take that shot. You know, he probably felt like Hutchinson was doing a good job. He had 4.5 sacks, and maybe they get a stop, a home to field goal if they didn't get it. But, yeah, I think just Detroit, for whatever reason, on offense, just didn't look like themselves. And Jared missing throws, if guys were open a little bit, he didn't have his best game. So I think sometimes as a coach, you have to take a chance and take a gamble, and it did that. It paid off at that time, but obviously they still didn't win the game.
Yeah, no doubt. One more for you, Jay. Appreciate you. You mentioned the Cowboys and the Saints. Clint Kubiak, new offensive coordinator. I think they've scored on 15 consecutive possessions when Derek Carr is in the game in the two games. You mentioned they ran all over them. They threw all over them. Kamara was great. And Shahid's got explosive speed that I don't know how many people know about. All he does is score long touchdowns. Did we sleep on this Saints team?
I think so. I think I did as well. I think what they're doing right now, they're forcing teams to play base defense. In 2024, most teams are in sub-defense, nickel defense, 80% of the time. But the Saints, they're lining up in two tight ends in the back. They're lining up with a fullback, a running back, and a tight end, two tight ends, and they're just hammering you. And once you get hammered and you start bringing extra guys in the box, you pull it out and play action, and Shahid's getting over the top of the defense. And Derek Carr is playing a very efficient game. They're hitting on big plays. They're hitting on the runs. Kamara's out of the passing game. They're doing everything right now offensively. Until somebody can get them in second and third and long, the Saints team is for real, because their offensive line is usually what has been their issue in the past, but they've upgraded at the left tackle. This rookie left tackle is a man. Cesar Ruiz, this right guard, is playing like a champ. Eric McCoy at center is playing outstanding. So offensive line, which has always been their Achilles heel, not being able to protect Derek, now all of a sudden they're protecting him. They're able to run the ball, take pressure off Derek. When Derek is asked to launch it, he can still do it.
Yeah, and that's with Ramczyk out for the year and maybe for his career, and they lost to Ron Armstead a couple of years ago in free agency on that left side, so that's a really good point. I like what Clint Kubiak brings to the table, and I had heard Dan Quinn was kind of interested in him before he decided to go to New Orleans when they were looking for an OC. Jay, great stuff as always. Appreciate you. I'll talk to you. We'll probably do it next Tuesday after the Bengals and the Commanders. We'll work on that, and we'll coordinate that. But thank you, as always. Great stuff.
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
All right, there you go. That is the great Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chevrolet, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle covered. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. Back in a flash, we're going to hear a little bit from head coach Dan Quinn. He's scheduled to meet the media at 3:30 on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. All right, thanks once again to Jay Gruden for joining us, as he does each and every Monday. Next week, we'll probably again move it to Tuesday because the Commanders play on Monday night. We actually have two Monday night games next week. Do want to make mention of this. You know, it is a Motown Victory Monday, right? We play Jackson 5 every week. Matt played, I think, 3 or 4 bump backs in a row last Monday. Mr. Chick Hernandez was listening and of WUSA 9 and, of course, did the Commanders' two first preseason games in the booth with Brian Mitchell. He pointed out, and I didn't know this, I missed this, Tito Jackson, the founding member of the Jackson 5, passed away yesterday. So, you know, obviously, I mean, just music that, you know, is kind of like the backbone of not only Motown, but just, I mean, you know, and of course, Michael went on to individual stardom and, you know, everything that came along with Michael, but, you know, brothers Jackie Jackson, Jermaine Jackson, Marlon Jackson, and of course, Tito Jackson. who just passed away. I mean, you know, the great hits, you know, as everybody knows, I Want You Back, ABC, I'll Be There. No cause of death provided. The family said we are shocked, saddened, and heartbroken. Apparently not expected. So just thinking about Tito Jackson and the Jackson family, and we try and pay tribute to them and homage to them and all that they did each and every Monday, win or lose, right here on the Team 980. So sad news there. Thanks to Mr. Chick for pointing that out. We're awaiting Dan Quinn to meet with the media via teleconference, or I guess via teleconference is the right way to say it. I didn't get to go to DQ yesterday after the game because I got to choose. They do both at the same time. So I had to choose the locker room. All right, let's hear from Dan Quinn right now.
That the best teams don't need losses to learn the lessons. And they learn all the intended lessons in the wins too. And I do believe that so much of the first month of the NFL season is about who can learn the lessons the fastest. And we'll definitely be a team that will improve week to week. And we're definitely on to Cincinnati, but we need to stay on us for a minute and make sure, although we're a new team, that's learning, but we can't have mistakes that repeat, in a week or another week. So those are really important topics for us to continue to improve. So all that said, I'll get rocking with you guys and we can get started.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Dan, we'll start with the run game. Is what you saw yesterday, why was it working so well? And is that starting to create the kind of identity that you're seeking?
I was really pleased to see some of the runs, the short yardage ones, John, that turned into some big plays. Those were some ones that I just felt it was strong and aggressive, but it's going to take a while. I think the whole NFL in that space, the line of scrimmage work, you'll get better in the run game, as the season progresses. The combination blocks, the traps, the pulling, the movements. But I do love what both Brian and Austin bring to the team. They're different, but they both have unique things. And getting to know them and learn them and what they can do great has been one of the things I've really enjoyed on this early part of the season.
And then kind of along the lines of what you were saying just earlier, the red zone offense and then the defense and some of the runs there, what were some of the bigger issues in those two areas for you?
Yeah, on the let's start on the first one, the touchdown. We've really got to be better on the first one that defensively we allowed. The term, you've heard it, crack replace. And so when one trap block happens, that you got to be ready to step in and get there. And so not to be able to deliver on that one down in the red zone, that was a bummer for sure. We misfit, I would say probably two or three that caused some of their stronger runs. But by and large, I was pleased. I felt, John, that the effort felt more like us. Not to say it was a completely true to our identity yesterday, but it felt a lot more like us and moving in that way. So I was pleased with that. I felt it was more physical. There was better hitting. There was better tackling. To say we were there, hell no. But it was a lot better and trending in the right space.
Thank you.
Nikki and Julian.
Hi, Dan. I know you've talked quite a bit about the pre and post snap penalties.
Yes.
But are you able to put your finger on why the false starts in particular keep popping up? And how do you go about fixing something like that?
Yeah, those are the ones. So I would call like the pre and post snap ones, like they'll fall under discipline, Nikki. And those are the ones that we have to get rid of, because there could be a check at the line of scrimmage and you jumped, like, hey, man, like we're going to get into the best play, have the discipline to stay in it. Like most things, more practice at it for sure. Even if you have to check in and out of a play that you don't need to for that simple purpose of doing it right. More often, I found the false starts are, I'm wanting to go too quickly. I'm just get the check, get to the call to go. I can live. You don't want them, but I can live with the combative ones. I can live with a holding or a DPI. I didn't like the one on Nick on the opening kickoff, but when you're trying to be physical, that part I can live with. The pre and the post snap, we'll really, kind of focus in on that. The false starts were the ones that set us back in this game from a penalty point of view.
And Zach Ertz had a nice game. I mean, what have you seen from him in your time with him? And, you know, that one catch in particular where he pretty much ripped it out of the defender's hands. I mean, what was your view of that?
Yeah, I was really impressed with Zach's performance yesterday. We call those 50-50 balls, and he made certain it was not going to be that. But I just thought, even like on the very first third down, there was a called penalty against him. I just felt his presence, Nikki, in this.
All right, we're going to have to jump in because we're having some audio issues from the teleconference that is live, by the way, that the Commanders are having with Dan Quinn. So apologize for some of those issues beyond our control, but we wanted to bring you anything important from Dan Quinn after his first win as a Commanders head coach. Tell you what we're going to do. I caught up after the game very quickly, one-on-one, about a minute and 45 seconds or so with Bobby Wagner. Got about five or six questions in. So, Maddie, why don't we fire Bobby Wagner with me after the 21-18 win yesterday in the locker room?
All right, here with Bobby Wagner in the Commanders locker room. I mean, you've been a part of so many crazy games in your career. How would you describe this
one? It was definitely a crazy one, back and forth. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you want to get a win. And so I think that was the biggest thing, us just getting wins and find a way to pull it out.
From an individual perspective, I mean, you were all over the place. You had that one pass breakup over the middle, six, seven tackles, whatever it was. I mean, how did you feel like individually?
I felt great. You know, I felt like I, you know, got a little bit of rust off the first game and starting into a rhythm and I felt good.
You guys did a much better job, it seemed, on third down.
Yeah. Yeah, we just wanted to get off the field. You know, we should have did a little bit better. We got to, you know, hurt ourselves with some penalties, you know, or some flags and things of that nature. We just got to be better, but we want to stack every game and win, especially a divisional win, is always great.
Can you, I mean, this game, obviously you said you did a lot of things better that you guys can build on and kind of take off from here.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we can build on. I think there's a lot of stuff we can still get better at. We still got to clean up our tackling. Yeah. We still got to clean up, you know, some of our execution. But, you know, wins are hard to come by in this league, and so we'll take it.
Is the tackling just because you guys don't get to do enough of it during the preseason, or is it something else?
We're professionals. I don't think there's no excuses. We just got to be better.
One last thing, Austin Siebert, new guy, comes in off the street, 7-of-7 field goals. You ever seen anything like that?
No, I never seen nothing like that. That's just to come in and you know, make all the field goals and to close the game out. Just a special performance by him.
All right, Bobby Wagner yesterday with me after, and the reason why it ended so quickly is because the rest of the crowd came around when they realized, there's Bobby Wagner. He's talking. Let's get our microphone in there. But the Rooster had him one-on-one for about just shy of 2 minutes. So we wanted to bring that to you, especially when the Dan Quinn audio kind of went out. So a little Dan Quinn, Bobby Wagner. Listen, Bobby Wagner had a really, really, really – there was a series on second and third down. Wagner, and I forget who the next play was on, where they had back-to-back pass breakups over the middle of the field on second and third down. And, you know, that was important because they got off the field on that particular drive. Listen, you're going to give up stuff. Like, I kept trying to tell you last week, Daniel Jones was coming off of a major injury. Daniel Jones is not as bad as you guys think he is. And against this organization, he's been good. He's been good. Now, that doesn't say much about this organization, but Daniel Jones got paid $40-some-odd million by Joe Shane and Brian Daboll because they thought he was good. Now, you can sit here and say, well, they're wrong. They're clueless. They don't know what they're talking about. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, I think they know more about offense and quarterbacking than you do. Every decision, as we know, does not always work out. And injuries are a huge part of it. I mean, Daniel Jones started last year slow against Dan Quinn and the Cowboys in that 40-0 shellacking, and they were like 0-3. And then he got hurt, I think, after their first win or during their first win or whatever it was, and he was out for three games, and then he came back, and then he was lost again for the season with the torn-up knee. Like, give guys a chance to come back, for crying out loud. But not everybody wants to do that. All right, let's get to clean up on aisle three as we bounce around and also spend a couple of moments on the Washington Nationals, who deserve a little bit of our attention. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed, what we forgot, what we need to touch on, what we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, yes, indeed. Mention the Nationals. They are in New York tonight at Citi Field in Flushing Meadows. I was just there 2 weeks ago, but not at Citi Field. At the U.S. Open, yeah, baby. Jake Irvin on the bump, 10-12 with a 4.19 ERA against Sean Manea of the Mets, 11-5 with a 3.35 ERA. First pitch, 7-10 for the first pitch at Citi Field. 6:40 the pregame on 106.7 The Fan and, of course, the Odyssey app. Now, as far as the weather, before we get into the rest of the Nationals weekend, the weather in New York tonight expected to be low to mid-70s, right around 71 degrees or so game time, dropping into actually the high 60s, but a very low percent chance of precipitation. So today's game day weather is presented by Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. As you probably have heard, James Wood with a couple of home runs yesterday. So that was great. The Nationals, after a disappointing performance on Thursday night in the series opener, in which they had a 3-0 lead in the first inning and never scored again, boy, they struggled for offense. Like midway through Friday night, I'm driving around listening to Dave Jagler, and he's like, you know, first inning of Thursday night's game, where they scored the three runs and then never scored again, until like the midway point of Friday night, they had like two hits, I think it was, in 37 at-bats. And then the Nationals won 4-1 on Friday night, and they had already had the lead when Dave had made that comment. So that was good. But then Saturday they won 4-1. Yesterday they won 4-3, so they took the final three of the series. They beat the Marlins 11 out of 13 times this year, which they've always struggled against the Marlins. And now they're 68 and 81 are the Washington Nationals, which, again, not great. Not great. Not very good. But 68 and 81 gets them closer to not only getting over 70, but to getting past their win mark from last year, which we'll obviously monitor and keep track of. And again, James Wood with the two home runs yesterday. Mackenzie Gore was much better on yesterday than he was last Tuesday when I was, of course, at Nationals Park. Six innings, two hits allowed in a 4-3 win. So Corbin was good the other day. Dylan Cruz is awesome. I mean, Friday night in the first inning, the infield hit outraced a routine ground ball, stole second, stole third, did something. Oh, made an unbelievable play in right field. So good weekend overall for the Washington Nationals, who are again at Citi Field in New York tonight to start a series final road trip of the year. All right, just finishing up, clean up on aisle three. A couple of games that we didn't get to from yesterday, and we'll try and spend some more time tomorrow. How about the Minnesota Vikings? Now 2-0 with Sam Darnold. I almost wanted to call him Sam Bradford. There's too many Sams. Sam Howell, Sam Bradford, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold hooking up with Justin Jefferson before JJ's quad started to bother him. He's, by the way, day-to-day, which I suppose isn't terrible news, but not great news, all things considered. Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson hooking up on a 97-yard. If you haven't seen the end zone angle from behind Darnold, I put it up on Instagram at Chris Russell DC. You check it out. 97-yard catch and run. And it wasn't like a screen and JJ did all the work. It was a majestic pass from Darnold. 17 of 26, 268, two touchdowns, an interception, a 109-1 rating. Minnesota beat San Francisco second year in a row in Minnesota. And this was one that I had in our station picks and our show picks. For whatever reason, I felt good about Minnesota. San Francisco coming off that Monday nighter. McCaffrey goes on IR. Again, Minnesota's defense is pretty good. I don't know if you saw Brock Purdy after the game was, you know, had a moment with Brian Flores. Said, man, scheme really. And this is with Jordan Mason rushing for 100 yards and, you know, 5 yard per carry average. And Debo Samuel, 110. Ayuk didn't do much. Kittle got banged up in this game. So we'll see what comes out of that. But the 49ers on a short week, to me, that's not really a surprise. The surprise of the day, well, there were a couple. Vegas going into Baltimore and dropping the Ravens to 0-2. How about Gardner Minshew? 30 of 38, 276, a touchdown and an interception. And Davante Adams, hello. 12 targets, 9 catches, 110 yards, touchdown. Now, there was all sorts of crazy-ass officiating calls in this game. I mean, there was a hit on Lamar Jackson right as he was going out of bounds. They didn't make they didn't throw a flag on it. I thought it was a good call, a good non-call, what have you. I thought he was inbounds. A little unnecessary, meaning, you know, on the physicality. But it's hard to tell football players to not do this, 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 and this. You know, like, you can take away some, but it's kind of hard to take away everything. Same thing that happened on the hit of Jaden Daniels yesterday, right? It was, like, right on the border. I thought it was right in bounds. They didn't call it. I think it was the right non-call. But, you know, did I wish he would take such a hard hit? No. No. But how about Baltimore? 0-2 to start the year. Lamar Jackson, 247, a touchdown and an interception, but only 45 yards rushing on 5 rushing attempts yesterday as Vegas gets the job done in Baltimore, dropping them to 0-2. Don't forget, Baltimore is coming up in just a couple of weeks in Baltimore. By the way, the Raiders were down 23-13 in the fourth quarter. Got a field goal from Danny Carlson, 25 yards. A 1 yard touchdown run from Davante Adams, and then a game winning 38 yard field goal with less than a half minute left from Carlson to win it. So they were down 23-13 and won it 26-23 over the Ravens. There were more officiating calls, including a defensive pass interference on Davante Adams, which people were upset about, or one scout or one guy was upset about, Ben Solak or whatever. I don't know. All these people that people worship and love and think are the greatest thing since sliced bread. He was all upset. I have no idea what that guy was looking at. No clue. It was just clear defensive pass interference as you know. I mean, it was just so clear. I have no idea what he was upset about. All right, one more for you from the NFL before we break away for Dumb Dumb of the Day. How about the New York Giants? Dropping the Titans to 0-2. Will Levis stinks. Brian Callahan is like, what the bleep are you doing? After like a weird wackadoo throw. He wasn't terrible. A 192, 19 of 28, a touchdown and interception against a good defense. But Aaron Rodgers, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 176 yards. Breece Hall is awesome. 62 yards rushing, 52 yards receiving, including a 26-yard touchdown pass. Allen, who's also one of the running backs, who I think Linnell had pointed out a couple of times, so give him credit if that's the same guy. I think it is. Had 2 touchdowns, 1 a 20-yard run, 1 a 12-yard touchdown pass. So the Jets wake up, win a game. The Jets have been screwed worse than anybody I could think of when it comes from a scheduling perspective. They started the year at San Francisco Monday night. Had to travel all the way back to the East Coast, short week at Tennessee early, and now they play a Thursday night game. You want to talk about the screws being put to the New York Jets? Man, the NFL has them over their lap, and they are slapping on that ass. Woo! All right, we'll get to the rest of the NFL tomorrow. We'll get more on the Commanders. Coming up, Dumb Dumb of the Day. Maddie found one for us. We will, let's just say, some women decide to charm their way to getting what they want. Some decide to stash things in certain parts of their body. We'll tell you next on the Team 980. All right, wrapping things up here on a Motown Victory Monday. Craig Hoffman coming up next at 4 o'clock. It is time to put the icing on the cake, Maddie.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Oh, she is indeed a very freaky girl. Leah Burke in Nottinghamshire, where they think a little bit differently than we do around here, was already on bail. She's already been in legal trouble. She was on bail when she was caught smuggling what police and authorities are saying, a significant amount of cannabis, not just to sell on the street, not into her home, not to a friend, not to a school, nope, into prison. Again,
what?
Already on bail. And the most interesting part, at least for perhaps us guys, she tried to slip the weed, a significant amount of weed, using her brassier. Yes.
That's a special kind of padding.
She she, again, was already on bail, tried to sneak it into prison, and tried to do it through her underwear. Cue the fool, said it already sold. So, apparently, I don't know how to read, like, the financial values, but, like, there was, like, 6,600 euros or whatever to inmates.
Those are pounds.
Oh, pounds? Is that what it was?
Pounds okay. Sterling.
Okay, there you go. And she tried to, again, smuggle it through her brazo. Quote, the amount found was not for personal use, but was intended for a person who was threatening you and for extensive supply within the prison system. Although it was a relatively small amount, it had a much higher value in prison, into the thousands, according to the judge. I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything about what she ultimately did, except I know this. If you're already out and you've already been through the prison system, you might not want to bring a big stash of pot through your, well, through your chest.
Congratulations, you're Chris's Dum Dum of the Day.
Well, there you have that. Nobody said anybody is smart. Definitely not. All right, good show today, I think. I think we brought you a different, unique perspective. I'll have more tomorrow. Doc is expected to be with us tomorrow. We'll have the final tally on the picks. Linnell is already crowing that he's 10-4 on the week. Monday night football game coming up.
He's 11-4. He can't even count properly. Oh. It's been 15 games.
I think Atlanta and Philadelphia, I think, is on our station tonight on Team 980.
I believe so, and I think all of us have picked Philly, so yeah, either we're all right or we're all wrong.
No A.J. Brown. Craig Hoffman coming up next. See you tomorrow at 1 with the DOC on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Adios.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.